Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Brain Stew Wrestling Night. How's everyone doing tonight? My name is Hammy, and joining me in studio is Michael Hipster Punchy Falcone.
That's right. It's weird having like a... Actually, not a light wrestling week, because we had a pay-per-view, too. But like a heavy like wrestling-related week.
Very heavy wrestling week, but...
Next weekend's going to pale in comparison as far as like stuff to watch.
Before we get to the actual wrestling talk of this show, first off, a couple of network announcements. First, congratulations to I Want to Go to There, 30 Rock Podcast, doing very well. Debut episode was posted yesterday, and it's receiving very well receptions on Facebook. And Good Girls Bad Thoughts, episode 2. Yeah, ladies are killing it.
They are.
So, and look for a future episode with them doing crossover with us about the history, the importance, and the controversies surrounding women in pro wrestling. That's going to be a very fun episode to tape. And tomorrow morning, debut of Screw You Guys, I'm Going Home, a South Park recap podcast with myself and Punchy. The new episode, if you're listening live, started right now. So why aren't you listening to us with South Park on DVR? We're going to watch the episode, recap it, and it will be posted first thing tomorrow morning. But before we get into any wrestling talk here, I have a lot of things to get off my chest regarding CM Punk, UFC, WWE, and the snobs from both universes.
Oh, great, guys.
That are...
We're getting a ham bomb.
Like, I'm too annoyed at this to even go with the bit. All right, hold on.
That's how pissed Hammy is. He does not want anything to do with making this slightly comedic.
Let me cool down my throat here.
He's cooling down his throat because give it about 5 minutes and it's going to be scratched to shit.
All right. So most of you know, CM Punk, Phil Brooks, he had his pro MMA fight debut last Saturday at UFC 203 in what can only be described as if Braun Strowman wrestled the young jobbers on Monday Night Raw. It was that in comparison. No, I lied, because Punk put up a better fight than the Braun Strowman jobber guys. My mistake. It was a burial, let's just say. Mickey Gall completely annihilated CM Punk. And
so that sounds more like Triple H facing mid-card guys in the mid-2000s or early
2000s. Correct. Very accurate, Mike. But my problem's not with the actual fight itself. My problem's not with the fact that a 37-year-old rookie took 2 years of training and tried to compete in mixed martial arts.
Yep.
That's not my beef at all, because we all knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, I think, like, here's the thing. There were mixed martial arts fans who thought WWE fans were thinking that CM Punk had a chance. We knew he was going to get crushed. Like, we knew the second he signed that deal. He doesn't have an amateur wrestling background. He only started doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu when he wasn't on the road in WWE, like, 3 years ago. Yes, he's with the Gracie camp, but still, like, thinking he could go into UFC and do well.
Duke Rufus, too.
Yeah, is delusional. Right.
So, my problem with wrestling fans on this...
Or mixed martial arts fans.
No, let wrestling fans, too. When CM Punk first signed with UFC, he started the whole MMA snobby elitist routine. Oh, you mean fake fighting, fake wrestling, blah, blah, blah. Are wrestling fans stupid and not know what a heel is? Do wrestling fans not know that MMA is real fighting, real combat fighting? Do wrestling fans not even realize that 90% of pro wrestlers out there wouldn't last 10 seconds in a cage with a trained killer, basically?
Stop.
Guys, Punk was trying to earn his stripes with the MMA community by trashing kiddie wrestling. That's what he was doing.
Here's my rebuttal on that one. That was poorly timed by someone who's typically a lot smarter about that kind of stuff. Because Punk is very savvy when it comes to social media and interviews. But well, with the exception of him being on Colt Cabana's podcast, but that's a whole other animal. But you can't say that and then have to get your back worked on and have surgery on your back because of fake fighting.
Right. So, wrestling fans, this whole thing between wrestling fans and MMA fans has been nothing but an entire sea of butthurt. And we all know where I work. We all know what I do for a day job here. Let's not get this anymore, try to be as transparent as possible here. My day job involves working with the MMA community. And over the past month and a half, I have heard nothing but shit from these MMA elitist jackasses. And the arguments that they have been saying are so nonsensical, ridiculous, and just out of nowhere that I think MMA fans, in regards to CM Punk, are just as dumb, if not dumber, than wrestling fans. And let me explain. Argument number one. CM Punk isn't a real athlete. Go back to fake fighting and being an actor. That's one of the many arguments I've heard. Okay, average top-tier fighter, you're Conor McGregor's. They fight 2 to 4 times a year, tops, because UFC can't pay him enough. Average lower-tier fighter, you're... your top five contenders fighting for a title shot. They maybe fight 5 to 8 times a year. Your Bellator lower tier fighter, maybe more than that. Average nobody fighter, 10 to 20 fights a year. Okay, more power to you if you fight more fights a year. Average top WWE superstar, 300 plus nights a year they're in the ring. Average TNA, Ring of Honor, indie wrestler has more than 1 to 200 matches a year, depending on their schedule. So already, that's way over 10 times more actual matches and competing than MMA fighters. That argument's void. How dangerous is your body to pro wrestling? Well, okay, it's all fake fighting. It's all fake. It's all an act. Enough that there was a class action lawsuit against WWE from former wrestlers because their bodies were so utterly damaged and destroyed from the years of pro wrestling. Wrestlers take more tolls on their body than NFL stars. NFL stars at least have all the padding to soften blows. Oh, no, but the entertainers and actors in wrestling. Oh, no, it's all fake. They know how to fall. Take a fucking bump. take a bump. Like, do these people not know what a wrestling ring is made of? It's plywood, a very, very tiny thin layer of canvas, and maybe, depending on what promotion you wrestle for, tiny little springs to maybe soften so it feels like you're getting punched with a towel versus bare hand. It's still gonna hurt like hell.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that. Like, the UFC or the mixed martial arts mats in their cages and rings are like regulation thickness for kickboxing or like amateur wrestling. So yeah, it's hard too, but there's still like a lot more padding there. Whereas, and I've seen rings get set up for indie shows. I like the actual padding on a wrestling ring is about the thickness of a thinner pillow.
And not to mention, all right, believe me, I'm going to go here, Mike. I apologize. I apologize to you guys, but I've had it. Oh, acting, fake fighting. It's not real. Steve Austin's neck was broken. Undertaker got numerous concussions and won via Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 30. Lesnar nearly snapped his neck in a match with Kurt Angle. And speaking of Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist, the pinnacle of athletic competition, Olympic medalist, has come out numerous times and talked about how grueling it is to be a pro wrestler. Sid Vicious, one of the most gruesome injuries I've ever seen from a wrestling match, snapped his leg in two as he was trying to do a move. No, but it's totally fake fighting, guys. It's not real.
And that injury is very similar to Anderson Silva's injury that he had.
Yeah, thank you. It was just as wibbly-wobbly as well. And another famous one,
all right,
Joey
David
Mercury. Yes, 10th Doctor. Joey Mercury took a shot from a ladder via a slingshot move, snapped his nose completely off. needed surgery to repair it. But no, totally fake fighting. Nothing's dangerous at all in wrestling. Get the fuck out of here. Don't talk to me about how pro wrestling is nowhere near as dangerous. It's just as dangerous, if not more. Argument number two. Athletes compare an actual competition, and pro wrestling is an athletic. Okay, CM Punk trained for 2 years and competed. Professionally. Badly, I'll admit. But he competed. So there goes that argument. Our match of the year. Ricochet versus Will Ospreay. Mike, I dare any MMA snob out there to do a fraction of what Will Ospreay and Ricochet did in that match. I dare them to do it. They could even probably jump in the ring. They probably couldn't do climb the turnbuckles without getting gassed. The same way that they get gassed by microwaving pizza rolls every night while they complain about how Conor McGregor's either the greatest thing ever or the worst thing ever. Shut the fuck up. Why didn't Phil be the wrestler? Why did UFC sign him and bring in a wrestler if the wrestler isn't going to show personality he's known for? First off, go back to what I originally said. The guy needed to earn the respect of his teammates. If you're a new guy, even if you're a purposely training MMA fighter, or you're an outsider going into the MMA world, you need to earn the respect of whatever team you're signing with or whatever team you're going to be working with. So, of course, he's going to be humble and not talk shit. What did you think was going to happen? He's going to be like Johnny Manziel, where Manziel comes in like, money, 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 give me all that money, and he's a total bust in the NFL. You think Punk was going to pull a Manziel and talk shit the whole time?
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, but wait a minute, Mike. He did talk shit eventually. Oh, all these MMA hack journalists. Oh, I think I could get a title shot if I win 2 or 3 fights. Journalists don't care about my well-being. They're just jealous they're not invited and refusing to shake Mickey Gall's hand at the weigh-in. If that's not what makes a heel of a wrestler, I don't know what is. And guess what happened every time he did one of those things, Michael? You know what happened? The MMA world lost their shit and told him to go back home and stop being an unprofessional dickwad. That's what they said. You wanted the wrestler? You got the fucking wrestler, and you're not happy when you got the wrestler. What else other than a pro wrestling heel does lunatic things like that? And every single time he did something heelish, the MMA world lost their mind. My cousin and 50 other people I know can whoop Punk's ass. Right, and when Aaron Rodgers throws a bad pass at Lambeau Field, I can go fill in for him. Get the fuck out of here. I know people who can whoop Punk's ass. My grandfather's deathbed can whoop Punk's ass. Yeah, you're just like every other sport in the bar cheering for Eli Manning Eli threw an interception. Get out of here. Wrestling fans are dumb. Punk doesn't belong. Get over yourselves. We're not children like you. And that's my favorite one. Said by disgusting slobs who hang out in their mother's basement and watch MMA, the same as the basement-dwelling mommy's basement pro wrestling fans that they love shitting on so much. You sound like every single wrestling fan who bitched about David Arquette winning the WCW title. Every time a celeb is brought into WrestleMania, and you say, oh, why is a celebrity here? He's taking a spot away from a real guy. Why is he here? Why is Shaquille O'Neal in the WWE? The minute MMA
Why
fans...
Why is he?
The minute... I'll get to that last point, Michael. When MMA fans realize they are just as whiny and just in a victimhood mentality as wrestling fans can be, then maybe we can live in a world where people say, oh, I'm fans of both, without having one group of fans say, oh, you're an asshole for liking that. And then that leads me to the most obvious question. Why did Dana White and NFC and UFC do this? Why does Vince McMahon bring in celebrities and other non-wrestlers to WWE programming? It's simple. Because like the UFC, WWE is entertainment. That's right. Your precious UFC, it's entertainment. Dana White and the Fertitta brothers took a mediocre couple million dollar investment with a nothing promotion and turn it into a global empire. You yep. have to set rules, regulations, endless anti-doping laws. You have to set rules, regulations. You have to set rules to people who can't do certain things. You can't kick someone in the head when they're down. Oh, but in pro wrestling, you could do anything you want as long as it's for show. Why did Dana and UFC do this? Because just like WWE and Vince McMahon, they're entertainment and they want to make money. And guess what, guys? CM Punk made you a lot of money. He brought in 800,000 buys to the UFC. He drew several hundred thousand people, both from the MMA world and the pro wrestling world, who either supported him or hated his guts since day one, to see whether he's going to win or lose. No matter what, Dana White got your $70. So get over yourselves, MMA guys. Enough. CM Punk is there. He's still training with Duke Rufus. He's still training, and he will be back. And then I get to see the butt hurt from MMA fans all over again. So anyhow, Mike, how was your weekend?
That was good. And for those of you wondering, I was only going to interject in Hammy's rant if he got to the point where he started saying "Murica" and repeating Trump logic. Like, that was the only way I was going to interject. I was going to let him have it. Let him have his moment to shine.
Jesus Christ, man. I've had it with elitist snob MMA fans who are doing nothing but complain about this, about CM Punk being in UFC.
And again, my whole issue there, though, is, like, I mean, where was the ferocity when Pride was doing, like, freak show matches, when Giant Silva or Zuluzino were fighting in Pride, or with the fact that all sorts of former pro wrestlers were wrestling in Japan mixed martial arts organizations. So, now listen, I get, like, CM Punk kind of didn't deserve the spot he was in, because
if we're being truthful here, I kind of agree, in a sense.
Yeah, like, he no like background except for pro wrestling. So, I get why people were annoyed by that Punk was even there. I mean, most guys who had no such background typically have to fight in the minor leagues before getting a shot in UFC, whereas they were just like, fuck it, we'll just sign him to a 3-fight deal with no experience.
Oh, you wanted the greatest part about all this? Oh, who would respect CM Punk for coming in? I don't respect him. No right MMA guy or MMA fan of this sport should respect CM Punk. All right, tell it to Michael Bisping.
All right, you know what?
Tell that to Conor McGregor. Two of the faces of your entire industry say, hey, he got his ass kicked, but he went in there, and I respect him for it.
Also,
you realize more fighters are angry about the money he made versus whether he should be there or not?
Yeah.
That's the funniest part about this whole thing.
To the people saying he deserves no respect and basically what Hammy just said, my response is, suck my balls.
Seriously, that's all I can say now.
Because, like, it takes a lot to actually get into a mixed martial arts ring. Yes, pro wrestling is grueling too. Both are grueling for two very different reasons.
Now, did CM Punk take a spot away from a guy who probably did deserve it? Now I'm going to direct this towards CM Punk.
No, I'm not going to say that. You know why? Because someone who normally wouldn't have gotten a shot to be in UFC, Mickey Gall, got a shot in UFC.
You're right. And he dominated, and he's calling out Sage Northcutt, whose father is saying, oh, no, he can't fight you, because he probably would get his ass kicked. Yeah. But anyhow, so, all right. With that with that much-needed venting out of the way, let's take a break before we actually get to actual wrestling talk. This is Brain Stew Wrestling. Stay right there. We will be right back right after this.
Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or 2-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com.
Who doesn't like to be naked? Sure, we all do. But the police usually frown upon public nudity. Well, now you can stay out of jail and look good doing so with a t-shirt from Skunk Duck Design. From sports to politics to the wide world of nerdcraft, there's a shirt for you at Skunk Duck. They even have shirts for you 420 followers. Skunk Duck shirts come in both a regular and women's cut, and with sizes from extra small to 5XL, there's a shirt for everyone. Oh, did I mention they have hoodies too? Because they totally have hoodies. Go to teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign to get the shirt that's right for you. That's teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign. New shirts are being added all the time, so follow Skunk Duck on social media at facebook.com/skunkduckdesign for all the latest updates. Skunk Duck Design, the best ducking designs on the web.
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today.
All right, back on Brainstew Wrestling, Jesus Christ. All right, now that I got that out of my system, we had some pro wrestling over the weekend.
Yes, we
did. Starting with probably the best, one of the greatest things I thought I would never ever see as a wrestling fan. And that is, as Backlash went off the air, Mike, we have AJ Styles as the WWE World Champion.
It really is a great time to be a wrestling fan. You've got Shinsuke Nakamura as the NXT champion. You've got Kevin Owens as the Raw champion. And you've got now have AJ Styles. And before that, Dean Ambrose. It's literally the last three new champions in WWE, like the main roster, have been guys who were just dismissed for a long time as indie darlings.
You have, let's just break this down for a second. Shinsuke Nakamura is your NXT champion.
Yep.
Kevin Owens is your Universal champion, and now your WWE World Heavyweight Champion is AJ fucking Styles.
And like, the fans wanted AJ to win so badly
that they were booing Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, and Dean Ambrose is one of the more popular guys in WWE.
I mean, you have to be so over and so well deserving in the eyes of the fans that they're booing Dean Ambrose.
And
unbelievable, Mike. Unbelievable.
Oh, so I mean, and also Heath Slater and Rhino are the tag champs, but that's secondary to the fact that AJ Styles went in there.
What were your thoughts? First off, the match itself was excellent, not going to lie. As Shane McMahon said on SmackDown just the other night, Styles and Ambrose tore the house down. Styles and Ambrose delivered an arguably five-star match here. It was full of action. It was full of unexpected turns. It had everything. It got me emotionally invested. And the payoff was seeing Styles get the 1-2-3.
Yep. And Styles has been doing this the whole time since debuting. He's been getting great mic work and great matches out of every single person he's feuded with. Jericho, which actually isn't a hard feat because Jericho's good on both the microphone and in ring. Roman Reigns, he got great matches out of. John Cena for that feud, fantastic. And then now Dean Ambrose. I mean, so since they started feuding, it's been some of the best mic work from Ambrose on the main roster.
Ambrose, I didn't think he could carry SmackDown when John Cena was out. And up until this past Tuesday night, I thought Cena was out. But nope, we'll get into that later. But
yeah,
What did you think of Ambrose working with Styles? I thought they couldn't think of a better opponent.
It was a really good match. And so the thing with Ambrose, he's a great on-mic guy. He's average in ring. Like, he's not an amazingly spectacular in-ring technician. He never was.
Ambrose, I would say, is above average overall.
His whole appeal, with
a great opponent?
Yeah.
With a great opponent?
It's match of the year contender.
So,
but, like, his main thing is his mic work. He can work, if given the chance to, he can work the microphone like no other in the industry.
Yes, he can.
And you had Dean Ambrose bringing some of that out of him this feud. It makes the people give a shit that much more about the feud as Hammy's bringing up pictures of AJ Styles with the championship, which is just, I could watch that all day and also pair that with the crying Dixie Carter meme.
Yeah, AJ Styles smiling, walking out of Backlash with the title. I mean, the rest of the show was pretty good. I'm not going to lie here. But I think this was one of the most predictable outcomes of any WWE Championship match in history, and yet we were still very excited for it.
Oh, it was so... I mean, I kind of figured AJ was going to win. He went from being... I don't think people realize what they thought, what Vince thought of him when he came into WWE. Vince thought that AJ was going to basically be another Dolph Ziggler type, and that's how he was going to push him. And then the fans buying the merchandise, giving him huge reactions, and him doing so well on the mic and in the ring made Vince change his mind over the course of about 9 months.
Yeah.
To where now AJ is the WWE World Champion.
He's the face of SmackDown. He's one of the faces of the company. He's the face of SmackDown. Had an amazing, surprising debut in the Royal Rumble this year. Feuded with Roman Reigns, then feuded with John Cena, and is now the WWE Champion. I must say, not a bad debut year for AJ Styles. Not too shabby.
Yeah, no, that's the only person who might have a comparable year as far as great first year in the main roster is Kevin Owens.
I can't think of a better person who had a better debut year on the main roster than AJ Styles. Like you said just now, Mike, arguably Kevin Owens.
Yeah, that's the only other person who had anything that's remotely close to that. Breaking news before we continue on. Before we continue on with the Backlash talk, if you're not watching the Cruiserweight Classic, they actually unveiled the Cruiserweight Championship for Raw.
Oh, wow.
So, we'll get into that later, but just breaking news. Apparently, the winner of... I mean, the way I'm reading it, the winner of the finals tonight, I believe, is the Cruiserweight Champion as well, since it's both guys signed with the company.
I mean, what a great way to introduce the Cruiserweight division. Hey, here comes the Cruiserweight champion.
Who won? Yeah, got it via winning the Cruiserweight Classic. So, we'll update you more as the night goes along, but that's just some breaking news there. Now, one other fun thing as far as Backlash is concerned, we had another new champion. And finally... Finally, I don't have to hear Hammy go, they call her the last kicker, but she's not kicking a lot of last.
I can stop saying this now. Becky Lynch, I've called her for weeks as the last kicker that kicks no last. Well, she is now your SmackDown Women's Champion. Congratulations to one Becky Lynch. It was a pretty decent women's match as well. And it was surprising because going into this match, I said last week on this very program, Mike, that I wouldn't be surprised if Nikki Bella came out, and I will be genuinely surprised if it's anyone else but Nikki Bella. And what happened? Nikki Bella's eliminated halfway through the match. She wasn't even a final pin. She was eliminated by, I think it was Carmella.
She was, and that's the perfect way to do it. And that's keep Nikki Bella out of the finals. That sets up a feud between her and Carmella. which is going to happen.
It doesn't set the obvious, like, hey, returning veteran versus new champion.
Yep.
I love it. I love the way they booked it.
They're, okay, what I like is that for the most part, they are pushing this new era thing. We've got Kevin Owens as a champion. We've got AJ as champion. Becky Lynch winning a title. Soon, Sasha Banks winning the women's title back. They're doing a best of seven between Cesaro and Sheamus, which I believe is going to lead to... Those rumors about Cesaro's contract, I think, are just WWE facilitating a move to SmackDown, but whatever.
Well, he's up. Sheamus was 3-0.
Now it's,
and Cesaro came back and is now 3-2. So obviously they are doing the coming back from 3-0 and winning.
So, come back up, so they've got that. They're actually pushing this new era. SmackDown's ratings have been increasing. Which,
the program has been getting better.
Yeah. Which, let's be honest, of course the ratings were going to increase when it's live now. Nobody gave a shit about watching a show that was taped two or three years ago.
What did we say going into this, Mike?
That going into SmackDown,
it is...
The best decision they can make.
It is the greatest decision WWE can make because it gives us a reason to watch instead of looking at the internet on Wednesday.
Now, I'm going to point out a difference here. Like... I've said the reason what hurts the SmackDown is that nobody wants to watch them. They read the results of 2 days earlier. Now, the thing is, like, and we're also talking about how we're not able to watch the Cruiserweight Classic, but we're going to watch it because it's something we happen to miss because we're doing a show. But, like, SmackDown, typically the tapings are 3 days before the show would air.
It was originally taped on Tuesday and aired on Friday.
So, yeah. So, anybody who knows the taping results or actually reads the taping results isn't going to want to watch unless something they know they want to see is on there. So, like I said, a couple years ago, that Randy Orton was champion in WWE. They had him defend the world title in the Elimination Chamber. And on a SmackDown, he lost clean to Cesaro. It was the first SmackDown I had watched in years.
I couldn't agree more.
And
it is the reason I watch I watch SmackDown.
And I'm glad they're doing a roster split because now SmackDown can't be the Raw recap show.
Right. That's the biggest thing, Mike, because you're right. You're absolutely right, Mike. SmackDown was solely put there to be the Raw recap show and push maybe one or two minor league talent to WWE, and only the main guys were put on Raw, which begs me to ask a question here. With SmackDown 2 hours, should Raw go back to 2? I say yes.
But that would defeat the purpose of them giving Raw more picks. So, I mean... I get it, so I'm not gonna, keep it 3 hours, but manage those 3 hours a lot better. Like, we don't need ridiculous 5-minute-long backstage segments when you've got wrestlers who are there perfectly willing and able to put on a fantastic.
But everyone loves a KFC skit.
Oh, if I see that KFC skit one more time.
All right.
I'm throwing myself out of the closest
let's
window.
Let's recap the rest of Backlash. SmackDown Tag Team Championship Final.
Yeah.
The second chance to advance to the tournament final. The Usos defeated the Hype Bros. Match was, it was It was okay. It was pretty decent.
It was okay.
I watched the whole thing. With only 7 matches, though, the pay-per-view itself, the matches were pretty long.
Yeah, they...
And the SmackDown Tag Team Championship Final, Heath Slater and Rhino defeated the Usos.
Because he's a one-man band.
With the help of Rhino, who is running for a state representative. And if you don't vote, hashtag vote Rhino, Kurt Angle will break your ankles. Why? Because he's an Olympic gold medalist and he won it.
With a broken freaking neck.
Thank you. Little delayed there, but that's okay. No holds barred match. Kane defeated Bray Wyatt because reasons. And before the match, Bray Wyatt beat up Randy Orton backstage to disqualify him from the match because Randy Orton outside of, like, peeling back fourth wall here, was not still medically cleared after Brock Lesnar busted him open the hard way at SummerSlam. So they had Bray Wyatt sneak attack him. All right, cool. But then he loses to Kane?
Yeah.
The continued burial mistreatment of Bray Wyatt. Guys,
yeah.
What is going on here with Bray Wyatt?
Oh, God. I'm kind of...
It's disgusting at this point. I'm almost as disgusted with their treatment of Bray Wyatt as MMA bros are at CM Punk coming in to fight UFC.
Yeah, I'm kind of starting to, like, give up on the possibility of them pushing Bray Wyatt.
I will never give up. Never surrender. I will never give up on the hopes that Bray Wyatt is a main eventer. I will never give up on that, because he is, no, without a shadow of a doubt, to me, the most interesting character WWE has on their roster. He's one of the most charismatic. He's one of the most entertaining. And he can work with anybody because his character enables him to.
All right.
WWE, do right by Bray Wyatt and let him win for once.
Here's the problem, though. The problem is that there's a gaggle of idiots writing that show.
You're right. We would never get hired to WWE for writing. All they have to do is just listen to this show.
Oh, no. Listen, if we ever put out, like, a resume to be WWE writers, I'm pretty sure you know you'll do the right thing and delete every episode of this podcast.
Yeah, I'll get broken Matt Hardy to come here and delete everything. All right, Intercontinental Championship match. The Miz defeated Dolph Ziggler, which just shows, a month ago, Dolph Ziggler was main eventing against Dean Ambrose, and now he gets defeated by The Miz? Now, granted, The Miz has been on point and has been killing it right now as one of the main heels of SmackDown. I'm loving what The Miz is doing.
Again, and I'm going to say the same thing that I said a while ago. Dolph Ziggler is damaged goods.
Unfortunately,
like, it's to the point where I do not expect him to win a title anytime soon. So whenever he's got a title shot against somebody, I just kind of check out of that feud. Because it's pointless to even...
Is it time to check out on Dolph Ziggler?
I think so. He's just, again, damaged goods at this point. They won't push him. Like, when you think they're going to push him, they're not going to put... They just won't.
They just can't. They're never going to.
The fucked up thing is that he's shown to be very durable, and the reason they're not pushing him is because every time they've given him a chance, he's been hurt. But he's been very durable lately, to the point where I'm like, watch, the second they give him a push and give him a title, he'll get hurt again. That's just his luck. So now there's like, you know what? No, we'll have him put on good matches against people and feud with the champions, but he will not become a champion.
I feel bad for Ziggler, but I think it is time to check out on him. He's never going to do it. I'm still going to be stubborn and hold out for Bray Wyatt, but if truth be told here, guys, I'm kind of almost at that point with Bray Wyatt as well.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm almost there.
Bray Wyatt's getting... I don't think he's damaged goods. I just think they're too inept to write him correctly.
And the final two matches, the kickoff match, Baron Corbin defeated Apollo Crews. Yawn. And SmackDown Women's Championship six-pack challenge, Becky Lynch defeated Nikki Bella, Carmella, and Naomi, and Natalya, and Alexa Bliss. Surprisingly very entertaining match. And I could finally now say, Becky Lynch, you are no longer a last kicker who kicks no last. You are now the SmackDown Women's Champion, the first SmackDown Women's Champion. And I hope she has a much-deserved, successful, long title reign.
I want to point out, let's ignore the fact that Hammy would still call her the last kicker that kicks no last, even on weeks that she won her match.
Because Hammy logic trumps everything.
No, Hammy logic just burns everything to the ground, including bridges, manifestos, and servers.
Yes, absolutely. So,
let's get back to challenge. I like the way that was booked. I like that it was elimination. Because I don't like when they have more than just like one-on-one or like, you know, one tag team versus one tag team and it's first pinfall, it eventually becomes a clusterfuck.
Hold on. Is this what you sent me? Is this the Cruiserweight Championship?
Yep.
Let me just get that
Looks nice,
there.
Right?
It doesn't look that bad. I don't like that it's purple, but it doesn't look bad.
I think it's blue. It just, like, the filters are bad, but it looks
like
it's blue.
Are we going to have one of these arguments like the dress, where the dress is black and blue or yellow and gold?
No, this is more like Psylocke's costume in X-Men Apocalypse, where, like, they had that filter that made Apocalypse look purple. But when you, like, actually had it in a regular filter, it was actually blue. It looks more blue to me on my screen.
Like, the center part here looks blue, but then it turns purplish. I don't know. If it's blue, cool. If it's purple, like, okay, I thought I was angry.
Also, remember, it's a screen cap from someone watching it on TV, so quality's gonna... So, like, when we actually watch the Cruiserweight Classic Finals and see that, we'll know what color it is. But it looks like it, like every other picture I've seen of it on Twitter, it looks blue.
All right.
Oh, and
that looks good.
Yep. And the winner of the finals will become the Cruiserweight champion. That's been confirmed.
I can't wait. There have been so many great matches from this Cruiserweight Classic. I can't even list my top three. I can't because there have been so many great competitive
matches in that whole thing. Like,
folks, like, it's like when MMA people say, oh, the heavyweight division and the main heavyweight superstars are not really that entertaining.
Yeah.
It's all about the welterweights and the featherweights and all those, all the quote-unquote smaller guys.
Yeah.
This is the same.
My
the cruiserweights are going to light up Monday Night Raw.
It's going to be the best match of the show.
I take back what I said. Is it time for Raw to go back to 2 hours? No, because that whole hour could be dedicated to inserting the cruiserweights.
Yep, exactly. My favorite matches from the Cruiserweight Classic so far have been Gargano versus Ciampa, Ibushi versus Cedric Alexander.
I think that one might be my favorite.
Yeah. And
that one just might be my favorite.
Zack Sabre Jr. versus Noam Dar from the quarterfinals.
There have been, again, fantastic matches. And you can watch them all on the WWE Network. So, go
for $9.99.
For $9.99.
Maggle.
Yes, sorry. I'm a Belgian mess because I'm drinking heavily. Okay. We have 15 minutes left before the Cage Crew comes in here and tapes. And then we got South Park to watch because we got to tape our little South Park recommend. Oh, it's such a great night and day for the network.
It's going to be a really fun night for them.
Monday Night Raw.
So, I mean, Monday Night Raw is starting to suffer the same thing that a lot of Monday Night Raws have been suffering through lately. And that's, unless certain people are on the screen, it's bordering on shit show.
But, Mike, you didn't like Jack Swagger versus Jinder Mahal? You didn't like that?
I blacked that out from my memory. Like, they're trying the... He's a heel who's Arabic.
He's a heel who's wearing the Connor's Cure button on his uniform.
But he's trying to say he's peaceful. So there's a lot going on.
Not all... Hashtag not all stereotypical Muslim wrestlers.
Yeah.
We need to be tolerant, guys. He's a wrestler of peace. But Jinder Mahal had a very boring match with Jack Swagger, who, honestly, perfect opponent for Jinder Mahal because all Swagger has to do is come out and do We the People.
We the People.
And he instant, got a loud ovation for that.
Instant cheap heel heat for Jinder Mahal. That was a good idea. But what's stupid is that they had Swagger lose.
It's America lost! It would be like if ISIS beat America.
Hold on, let me finish. Because not only that, but after Swagger lost, they did the whole, like, the next day, they made him going to SmackDown seem like a big deal.
Why?
Like, all right, so him beating Swagger, I have no problem with. But the way they were trying to, like, present Swagger as, like, oh, your contract's up, that's something they should do after the person wins their match, not after they lose their match. Because then who's going to care? He lost to Jinder Mahal. Like, that's enough to be damaged goods.
I mean, he is damaged goods because he damages everyone else's goods.
Yeah, like Dolph Ziggler.
Wait, all right.
I mean, there were some good moments from Raw. I mean, you had the opening match, which was a women's title contender match.
Great match.
Great match. Sasha Banks defeated Bayley and Dana Brooke.
It will be Sasha Banks versus Charlotte for the championship at Clash of Champions.
And one thing I want to know, why is Bo Dallas now getting the Braun Strowman just kill jobbers push?
I don't know, but his Donald Trump-looking sign that he's bringing out makes me laugh very much.
Yeah.
Believe in Bo Dallas.
I will give WWE this. When they're mocking politics with their storylines, they're on point.
Where's Zeb Coulter when you need him?
Fired.
I know, but where is Zeb Coulter when you need him?
They fired him a little too late early. Holy crap. Then you had Cesaro defeating...
WWE, seriously, can sue Donald Trump for infringing their gimmick with Zeb Coulter.
Cesaro beat Sheamus in a match that... The first match of the Best of Seven series that didn't feel like the same match they've been doing.
Right. Every match Sheamus and Cesaro have been having, it's been a different match every time. I love it.
Now, there was a highlight
reel. Truth be told, Mike, I was against this Best of Seven series at first. Now I'm kind of behind it.
Yeah, well, the problem I had with it was basically going to be seven matches of Cesaro carrying Sheamus.
Yeah, basically. All right, and for the highlight reel, Jericho, who, by the way...
But we don't do that show anymore.
It's an... Wow, throwback to the college years. Jericho's highlight reel. By the way, Jericho has been a lunatic lately, and I've been loving what Jericho has been doing. Because he has...
It. You stupid idiot. Oh, God.
It's at the point where fans are literally chanting, stupid idiot.
That's becoming...
possess myself. If you truly think that he's your best friend, you think he's your brother, then you truly are a stupid idiot. You see, Zane,
perfect.
You're just like all of them. Condescending, huh? Name-calling, rude. Yeah, you're just like everybody here. You're a taker, Sami Zayn. You're a taker. Me, I'm a giver.
No, he's not. He's not from Death Valley.
Yeah, I give people what they want.
The gift of Jericho. Drink it in, man.
I'm giving all these heathens here tonight what they want. I'm giving them what they need. I'm giving them
listen, the gift of Jericho. Quite frankly, that gift sucks.
Jericho's face is priceless. Look, I don't care if he's allegedly boozing it up like crazy backstage. Jericho has been on fire lately.
Yeah.
And this just shows what kind of a talent Jericho has, because he can do this ridiculous gimmick that he's doing and get over and be a heel.
And I like what they're doing with Jericho. They're making him win matches when he should, so that when he puts over guys continually like he doesn't lose any luster in doing so.
Absolutely not. The New Day, dare I say, if we're talking about checking out here, I am checking out on this New Day Gallows and Anderson feud. I am checking out big time. You know what I'm doing? I'm not even checking out. I am running away from the hotel before I pay the bill. That's what I'm doing with this feud.
Last week on Monday Night Raw, Gallows and Anderson, yeah. The cool guys who too sweet each other and...
Yeah, too sweet, man. Yeah, too sweet.
They
man.
Beat people up. They tried their hands at entertainment.
Okay, so... So let me pause a second.
Which, to New Day's credit, they said what everyone was thinking at that segment last
week. Well, I do like they dropped the goofy skits with Gallows and Anderson. They shouldn't have been made to do that. Yeah, they're funny backstage, but doesn't mean that they're doing that stuff is going to be funny. So I like that now they have Gallows and Anderson just going back to being badasses.
Yes, exactly. For example, I'm stunningly beautiful and entertaining on the air, but off the air, I'm just a miserable curmudgeon.
Someone's got confidence.
Yes! Again, on the air. Off the air, I don't. All right, so the New Day came out and said what everyone was thinking of last week's horrendous segment with Gallows and Anderson, and that led to Anderson and Gallows coming out. Having a fight with the New Day, and let's hear Gallows and Anderson's entertaining rebuttal.
You stand in the ring pandering to a stupid crowd like Baltimore. Yeah, yeah, stupid. And you talk about bootios and you wear your stupid unicorn horns and we're the ones that are wasting people's time.
If he really wanted to get heat, he should have said Freddie Gray deserved it.
We're going to rip those stupid horns off.
You really want to get heat in Baltimore?
Beat you unconscious with them.
Well, heat or putting their wives in their own hands.
WWE tag team titles.
I'm convinced Gallows and Anderson are taking those titles from New Day.
Eventually, but New Day's on a 300-day reign now.
I'm wondering either they're going to take it away before they break Demolition's
record.
Almost
400 days. Sorry, they're over a year. They're 380-plus days.
Actually, yeah. Hold on, let me double-check
that. 380-plus day reign is a New Day.
So whether Gallows and Anderson take the titles from New Day now is going to depend on how close they are to Demolition's record. Because if it's going to be broken before...
I hope it is. I really hope it is. I hope they're the longest lasting tag team champions of all time. They deserve it. They for the sole reason that they took an initial crap gimmick and turned it into gold. Consistent gold. The New Day is WWE's golden goose. One of them. It's amazing to say this now for WWE, but they have more than one golden goose right now.
They have multiple. They're actually developing storylines now at a much more broad pace.
All right, and your main event, Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens in a very decent match.
After multiple restarts, Kevin Owens won because life is finally being fair.
Okay, so let's switch to SmackDown, which... I don't think we have enough time to cover all of it.
Let's cover the one thing we should cover, which is
cover the one thing that we absolutely should. I agree. Which was an epic exchange between Cena, Styles, and Ambrose.
Now, let's frame this for those who haven't seen it yet. AJ Styles came out to celebrate winning the title, which always happens when someone wins a championship.
Hey, I hate to tell you so. I told you so. Quietly,
he's been great
so
as a heel.
Let me yell it. I told you so!
And he gets cheered!
Yeah.
And the IWC everywhere is like, yeah, you did. And this is great.
And this trophy right here
Scissor me, Xerxes.
Is the proof. I am the face that runs the place. I am now the champ.
Look, I get that WWE are trying to do right by Connor's cure, and believe me, it's an amazing cause. But if I can't take your heel seriously if they're wearing a Connor's cure badge on their thing, like, yeah, I'm supposed to be an asshole on camera, but, you know, try to help a charity to help sick kids. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, of course, support the cause, but. You're a heel. I every time I look at that cute little title on his
vest,
that's
something they're having everyone wear. Like, that's just not. I mean, of all the things we're gonna call out for a lack of realism,
you're
Hammy,
right. You're
that's
right.
What you're gonna call out.
You're right.
Something that's a benefit for Connor the Crusher. Yeah, Connor the Crusher. Like, that's what you're gonna call out as far as realism is concerned in a wrestling show, Hammy. Really.
All right. Well,
not the fact that apparently friends can turn on friends and then later become best buds again. That's not what you're going to call out. Or the Vince McMahon limo explosion is not what you're going to call out. That magically he revived himself after Chris Benoit killed his wife and kids and himself.
All right, I'm kind of eating my own words here now because the fact that I'm pointing this out is just shows like, oh, really? Like, it's so perfect right now.
And do you also believe that the Undertaker was actually a zombie who wrestles?
It's still real to me, damn it.
Because, I mean, listen, if you can believe that, you can believe that a heel will wear...
Yeah,
because no matter how evil a heel is, they're not fucking terrible people. They're still going to wear the Con of the Crusher logo. Because the kid died.
All right.
Like, it's a charity in that kid's honor. Like, they have an award in the Hall of Fame for... So, it's not that, like... that's not something I'm going to nitpick about wrestlers wearing the logo. I get it. I appreciate that they're doing it.
I of course I do too. It just takes me a little bit out of it because it makes me feel really sad.
No, it does. You know, it doesn't take me out of it at all because I just.
Just makes me feel really sad. No, I see that and I'm like, oh no, I feel now I'm reminded of the Conor tribute video before WrestleMania 30. I'm like,
If you want to cry ever, watch that tribute video. Holy crap. Like that kid was adorable, and then just you find
that tribute video shed real tears.
Yeah.
And then that same weekend, Daniel Bryan winning the title at WrestleMania 30 tears.
He was alive. Oh, you mean the actual before he died? He was at WrestleMania 30.
Yes.
And so for those who don't know or were living under a rock at the time, there was this kid, Connor Malachek or something.
I think. Yeah.
He was a big wrestling fan. He had what's the disease he had?
A form of cancer.
Oh yeah, form of cancer, and. Like, terminal, too. But he was a big wrestling fan, and his favorite wrestler at the time was Daniel Bryan. So they actually, let him meet Daniel Bryan and other wrestlers.
What a perfect way. Like, it's so amazing to see a kid, and you see in this video that the father says, oh, it's for the first time I didn't think my son was sick. I'm like, oh, God! That, like, it just tugs at every grasp of feels that you can think.
And then what shows how good of a person Daniel Bryan is, like, he wins the title at WrestleMania 30.
And the first person he hugs is Connor.
Yeah. Like, it was amazing. And then shortly after, we find out he dies, and it's like, fucking hell. So, back to the promo. After that.
See? Now I can't focus on the promo anymore.
After that, just feeling sad.
The camp!
You can hear all these people. They know what I know.
Oh, by the way, 5 minutes into Style Celebrating, guess who comes back? Mr. Pats Blue Ribbon himself.
You have something not wearing that belongs the Conor the Crusher thing? And I finally
on his
decided
hat. On his hat.
That I would like it back. Because you are the face that runs the place.
This is like backstage
but
booking meetings.
But I'm the
meetings.
Man who doesn't quit, and I got one goal left, one goal in the WWE, and that is proudly to announce the 16-time champ is here!
Oh, no.
I don't think it happens.
You made the biggest mistake of your life.
So then Dean Ambrose comes out, and this is what happens.
On Sunday, boy. See, I can handle losing a match. It's no big deal. You know, titles, they come and go. But what you did when you kicked me square in the jewels because you were getting your ass handed to you, you stole from me. From this moment forward, I promise to make your life miserable. I'm not just going to take back my title. I'm going to take it back with interest. I'm going to bury you into the ground. Take back what's mine.
Oh.
So we come to this, and we're focusing almost all of our SmackDown focus on this because, quite frankly, everything else after this on the show was garbage compared to
not
this.
Not garbage. It was a good SmackDown, but this...
Compared to this
is the
this
most
exchange?
Important thing to talk about. And the crowd's eating it up.
Let me get this straight. You hung this dude by his crotch, and now you're complaining that you lost to a low blow? Oh, yeah, man, you really brought the fight to him like you'd never seen before. You know what? Stone Cold was right when he called you out on his podcast.
Oh. And for those of you who don't know what Stone Cold said...
He pretty much said Ambrose was resting on his laurels and kind of coasting a bit.
Right. Not really giving it his
Which,
all.
Which, shots fired. And Ambrose was like, I'm putting somebody else's sandbox.
I'm actually surprised that low blow even hurt you, because you ain't stepped up. You fell off. All you've been showing the WWE Universe is that you got no brah.
Balls, he said. Brah.
Brah.
You even lift brah? Now Ambrose with the rebuttal.
You see, first off, you see the little smirk in Ambrose's face, like, ooh, I got something for Cena.
We're getting that Ambrose heel turn.
Oh, I'm sorry. You must be mistaken me for somebody who gives a damn what you have to say. You must be mistaken me for somebody who gives a damn what you think, because I don't. Not at all. In fact, I have no patience for you, no patience whatsoever for you, and all your rah-rah speeches and all your sanctimonious bullcrap. You know what you are to me, John? You're a lazy part-timer.
Wow.
Oh. And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is all
we need to play.
You know what that is? That is Eminem taking it to Papa Doc in the final battle.
No,
that's what that was.
That's Eminem taking it to to Benzino.
Even better. That's Nas taking it to Jay-Z.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And what an exchange.
And before we go, breaking news. The winner of the Cruiserweight Classic and first Cruiserweight champion of the new era, TJ Perkins.
Congratulations to TJ Perkins. And what better way to end the show? What better way? I want to thank you guys very, very much for listening / watching. If you're listening or watching on the podcast, remember we are live every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. on brainsteerradio.com. And the podcast will be posted shortly. I would say Cage Crew's up next because here I am thinking they're live, but
they're taping next.
They're taping next. Here we go. That's even better. All right, guys. This is Brainsteer Wrestling. Have a good night.